Who is it that hath warned us to the walls?
'Tis France for England.
England for itself. You men of Angiers and my loving subjects.
You loving men of Angiers, Arthur's subjects. Our trumpet calls you to this gentle ball.
For our advantage. Therefore, hear us first. These flags of France that are advanced here before the eye and prospect of your town have hither marched to your endamagement. The cannons have their bowels full of wrath, and ready mounted are they to spit forth their iron indignation against your walls. All preparation for a bloody siege and merciless proceeding by these French confront your city's eyes, your winking gates. And but for our approach, those sleeping stones that as a waste doth girdle you about, by the compulsion of their ordnance, by this time from their fixed beds of lime, had been dishabited, and wide havoc made for bloody power to rush upon your peace. But on the sight of us, your lawful king, who painfully with much expedient march have brought a countercheck before your gates to save unscratched your city's threatened cheeks, behold, the French, amazed, vouchsafe a pall. And now instead of bullets wrapped in fire to make a shaking fever in your walls, they shoot but calm words, folded up in smoke, to make a faithless error in your ears. Which trust accordingly, kind citizens, and let us in, your king, whose labored spirits, forwearied in this action of swift speed, crave harborage within your city walls.
When I have said, make answer to us both. Lo, in this right hand, whose protection is most divinely vowed upon the right of him it holds, stands young Plantagenet, son to the elder brother of this man, and king o'er him, and all that he enjoys. For this downtrodden equity we tread in warlike march these greens before your town, being no further enemy to you than the constraint of hospitable zeal in the relief of this oppressive child religiously provokes. Easy then to pay that duty which you truly owe to him that owes it, namely, this young prince. And then our arms, like to a muzzled bear, save in aspect, have all offence sealed up. Now our cannon's malice vainly shall be spent against the invulnerable clouds of heaven, and with a blessed and unvexed retire, with unhacked swords and helmets all unbruised, he will bear home that lusty blood again, which here we came to spout against your town, and leave your children, wives, and you in peace. But if you fondly pass our proffered offer, 'tis not the roundure of your old-faced walls can hide you from our messengers of war, though all these English and their discipline were harbored in their rude circumference. Then tell us, shall your city call us lord, in that behalf which we have challenged it? Or shall we give the signal to our rage and stalk in blood to our possession?
In brief, we are the King of England's subjects. For him and in his right we hold this town.
Acknowledge then the king and let me in.
That can we not. But he that proves the king, to him will we prove loyal. Till that time have we rammed up our gates against the world.
Doth not the crown of England prove the king? And if not that, I bring you witnesses. 15,000 hearts of England's breed.
Bastards and else.
To verify our title with their lives.
As many and as well-born bloods as those.
Some bastards too.
Stand in his face to contradict his claim.
Till you compound whose right is worthiest, we for the worthiest hold the right from both.
Then God forgive the sin of all those souls that to their everlasting residence before the dew of evening fall shall fleet in dreadful trial of our kingdom's king.
Amen, amen. Man, civilians, to arms!
St. George that swings the dragon and e'er since sits on horseback at mine hostess' door, teach us some fence! Sirrah, were I at home at your den, sirrah, with your lioness, I would set an ox head to your lion's hide and make a monster of you.
Peace, no more.
Oh, tremble, for you hear the lion roar.
Up higher to the plain. where we'll set forth in best appointment all our regiments.
Speed then to take advantage of the field.
Return to Owen and the other hill to command the rest to stand.
Left and our right.
Men of Angiers, open wide your gates, and let young Arthur, Duke of Britain, in, who by the hand of France this day has made much work for tears in many an English mother, whose sons lie scattered on the bleeding ground. Many a widow's husband grovelling lies, coldly embracing the discoloured earth. And victory, with little loss, doth play upon the dancing banners of the French, who are at hand, triumphantly displayed to enter conquerors and to proclaim Arthur of Britain, England's king and yours.
Rejoice, you men of Angiers! Ring your bells! King John, your king in England, doth approach, commander of this hot, malicious day. Their armors that marched hence so silver bright, hither return, all gilt with Frenchman's blood. There stuck no plume in any English crest that is removed by a staff of France. Our colors do return in those same hands that did display them when we first marched forth. And like a jolly troop of huntsmen come our lusty English, all with purple hands, dyed in the dying slaughter of their foes. Open your gates! And give the victors way!
Heralds, from off our towers we might behold from first to last the onset and retire of both your armies, whose equality by our best eyes cannot be censured. Blood hath bought blood, and blows have answered blows. Strength matched with strength, and power confronted power. Both are alike, and both alike we like. One must prove greatest. While they weigh so even, we hold our town for neither, yet for both.
France, hast thou yet more blood to cast away? Say, shall the current of our right run on? Whose passage, vexed with thy impediment, shall leave his native channel and o'erswell with course disturbed even thy confining shores, unless thou let his silver water keep a peaceful progress to the ocean?
England, thou hast not saved one drop of blood in this hot trial more than we of France. Rather lost more, and by this hand I swear that sways the earth this climate overlooks, before we will lay down our just-born arms, we'll put thee down, against whom these arms we bear, or add a royal number to the dead, gracing the scroll that tells of this war's loss, with slaughter coupled to the name of kings.
Ha, Majesty! How high thy glory towers when the rich blood of kings is set on fire. Oh, now doth death line his dead chaps with steel. The swords of soldiers are his teeth, his fangs, and now he feasts, mousing the flesh of men in undetermined differences of kings. Why stand these royal fronts amazed thus? Cry havoc, kings, back to the stained field, you equal potents, fiery kindled spirits. Then let confusion of one part confirm the other's peace. Till then, blows, blood, and death.
Whose party do the townsmen yet admit?
Speak, citizens, for England. Who's your king?
The king of England, when we know the king.
Know him in us, but here hold up his right.
In us, that our own great deputy, and bear possession of our person here, lord of our presence, Angiers, and of you.
A greater power than we denies all this. And till it be undoubted, we do lock our former scruple in our strong-barred gates, kings of our fear, until our fears resolved be by some certain king, purged and deposed.
By heaven, these scroyals of Angiers flout you kings and stand securely on their battlements as in a theatre, whence they gape and point at your industrious scenes and acts of death. Your royal presences be ruled by me. Do like the mutins of Jerusalem, be friends a while, and both conjointly bend your sharpest deeds of malice on this town. By east and west let France and England mount their battering cannon, charge it to the mouths, till their soul-fearing clamours have brawled down the flinty ribs of this contemptuous city. I play incessantly upon these jades, even till unfenced desolation leave them as naked as the vulgar air. That done, dissever your united strengths, and part your mingled colours once again, turn face to face and bloody point to point. Then, in a moment, fortune shall call forth out of one side her happy minion, to whom in favour she shall give the day and kiss him with a glorious victory. How like you this wild council, mighty state? Smacks it not something of the policy?
No, by the sky that hangs above our heads, I like it well. France, shall we knit our powers and lay this Angiers even with the ground? Then after fight, who shall be king of it?
And if thou hast the mettle of a king, being wronged as we are by this peevish town, turn thou the mouth of thy artillery as we will ours against these saucy walls. And when we have dashed them to the ground, why then, defy each other, and pell-mell make work upon ourselves for heaven or hell.
Let it be so. Say, where will you assault?
We from the west will send destruction into this city's bosom.
I from the north.
Our thunder from the south shall rain their drift of bullets on this town.
Oh, prudent discipline from north to south. Austria and France shoot in each other's mouth. I'll stir them to it. Come, away, away!
Hear us, great kings. Vouchsafe a while to stay, and I shall show you peace and fair-faced league. Win you this city without stroke or wound. Rescue those breathing lives to die in beds, that here come sacrifices for the field. Persever not, but hear me, mighty king.
Speak on with favour. We are bent to hear.
That daughter there of Spain, the Lady Blanche, is near to England. Look upon the years of Louis the Dauphin and that lovely maid. If lusty love should go in quest of beauty, where should he find it fairer than in Blanche? If zealous love should go in search of virtue, where should he find it purer than in Blanche? If love ambitious sought a match of birth, whose veins bound richer blood than Lady Blanche? Such as she is, in beauty, virtue, birth, is the young dolphin every way complete. If not complete, oh, say he is not she, and she again wants nothing to name want, if want it be not, that she is not he. He is the half part of a blessed man, left to be finished by such as she, and she, a fair, divided excellence, whose fullness of perfection lies in him. Oh, two such silver currents, when they join, do glorify the banks that bound them in, and two such shores to two such streams made one, two such controlling bounds, shall you be kings to these two princes, if you marry them. This union shall do more than battery can to our fast-closed gates, for at this match, with swifter spleen than powder can enforce, the mouth of passage shall we fling wide ope and give you entrance. But without this match, the sea enraged is not half so deaf, lions more confident, mountains and rocks more free from motion. No, not death himself in mortal fury, half so peremptory, as we to keep this city.
Here's a stay that shakes the rotten carcass of old death out of his rags. Here's a large mouth indeed that spits forth death, and mountains, rocks, and seas talks as familiarly of roaring lions as maids of 13 do of puppy dogs. What cannoneer begot this lusty blood? He speaks plain cannon fire, and smoke and bounce. He gives the bastinado with his tongue. Our ears are cudgeled. Not a word of his but buffets better than a fist of France. Zounds, I was never so bethumped with words since I first called my brother's father dad.
Son, list to this conjunction, make this match. Give with our niece a dowry large enough, for by this knot thou shalt so surely tie thy now unsure assurance to the crown that yon green boy shall have no son to ripe the bloom that promiseth a mighty fruit. I see a yielding in the looks of France. Mark how they whisper. Urge them while their souls are capable of this ambition. lest zeal, now melted by the windy breath of soft petitions, pity and remorse, cool and congeal again to what it was.
Why answer not the double majesties this friendly treaty of our threatened town?
Speak England first, that hath been forward first to speak unto the city. What say you?
If that the dolphin there, thy princely son, can in this book of beauty read, I love, her dowry shall weigh equal with a queen, for Angiers and fair Touraine, Maine, Poitiers, and all that we upon this side the sea, except this city now by us besieged, find liable to our crown and dignity, shall gild her bridal bed, and make her rich in titles, honours, and promotions, as she in beauty, education, blood, holds hand with any princess of the world.
What's this, our boy? Look in the lady's face.
I do, my lord. And in her eye I find a wonder, or a wondrous miracle. The shadow of myself formed in her eye, which being but the shadow of your son, becomes a son and makes your son a shadow. I do protest, I never loved myself till now. In fixed I beheld myself, drawn in the flattering table of her eye.
Drawn in the flattering table of her eye. Hanged in the frowning wrinkle of her brow, and quartered in her heart, he doth espy himself love's traitor. This is pity now, that hanged and drawn and quartered there should be in such a love so vile a lout as he.
My uncle's will in this respect is mine. If he see aught in you that makes him like, that anything he sees which moves his liking, I can with ease translate it to my will. Or if you will, to speak more properly, I will enforce it easily to my love. Further, I will not flatter you, my lord, that all I see in you is worthy love, than this, that nothing do I see in you, though churlish thoughts themselves should be your judge, that I can find should merit any hate.
What say these young ones? What say you, my niece?
That she is bound in honor still to do what you in wisdom still vouchsafe to say.
Speak then, Prince Dolphin. Can you love this lady?
Nay, ask me if I can refrain from love, for I do love her most unfeignedly.
Then do I give Volquesson, Touraine, Maine, Poitiers, and Anjou, these five provinces with her to thee, and this addition more, full 30,000 marks of English coin. Philip of France, if thou be pleased with all, command thy son and daughter to join hands.
It likes us well, young princes. Close your hands.
And your lips, too, for I am well assured that I did so when I was first assured.
Now, citizens of Angiers, open your gates. Let in that enmity which you have made. For at St. Mary's Chapel, presently, the rites of marriage shall be solemnized. Is not the Lady Constance in this troop? I know she is not for this match made up. Her presence would have interrupted much. Where is she and her son? Tell me, who knows?
She is sad and passionate at your highness' tent.
And by my faith, this league that we have made will give her sadness very little cure. Brother of England, how may we content this widow lady? In her right we came, which we, God knows, have turned another way to our own vantage.
We will heal up all, for we'll create young Arthur, Duke of Britain and Earl of Richmond, and this rich fair town we make him lord of. Call the Lady Constance. Some speedy messenger bid her repair to our solemnity. I trust we shall, if not fill up the measure of her will, yet in some measure satisfy her so that we shall stop her exclamation. Go we as well as haste will suffer us to this unlooked for, unprepared pomp.
Mad world, mad kings, mad composition. John, to stop Arthur's title in the hole, hath willingly departed with a part. And France, whose armor conscience buckled on, whose zeal and charity brought to the field God's own soldier, here with that purpose changer, that sly devil, that broker that still breaks the pate of faith, that daily break vow, he that wins of all, of kings, of beggars, old men, young men, maids, who, having no external thing to lose but the word made, cheats the poor maid of that, that smooth-faced gentleman, tickling commodity. Commodity, bias of the world. The world, who of itself is pies it well, made to run them upon even ground, till this advantage, this vile-owing bay of motion, this commodity, makes it take head from all indifferency, from all direction, purpose, course, intent, and this same bias, this commodity, this board, this broker, this all-changing word, clapped on the outward eye of fickle France, hath drawn him from his own determined aid, from a resolved and honorable war, to a most base and vile concluded peace. And why rail I on this commodity? But for because he hath not wooed me yet. Not that I have the power to clutch my hand when his fair angels would salute my palm, but for my hand, as unattempted yet, like a poor beggar raileth on the rich. Well, whiles I am a beggar, I will rail, and say there is no sin but to be rich. And being rich, my virtue then shall be to say there is no vice but beggary. Since kings break faith upon commodity, gain be my lord, for I will worship thee.